What's up? Hims, hers, theys. You're going to find out in a minute that I have shit for brains and why I've learned to never, ever be professional and never do anything in advance. Might as well cut to the fucking goddamn chase. This episode was supposed to be someone else. Supposed to be Matt Halpern from Periphery coming back for a second episode. Long story short, I've got a shit MacBook Pro with 128 gigabytes of storage, and sometimes I need to delete all of the audio that I'm not using to free up space to do other stuff because I'm poor. Oh, I'm poor. Sign up to the Patreon, patreon.com/thedownbeat, or you could buy a t-shirt, www.thedownbee.at, so it spells downbeat, and you could buy a t-shirt, and then I wouldn't be so poor. Anyway, that's that bit out of the way. I was really like, I've got this new desk. We all know about the new desk. I'm going to be really productive. I did like 5 episodes of the podcast, 1 logic session, so I've got the same crispy, dulcet tones. Everyone's on their own little, I've got one track, which is just for me, and then I've got everyone else on their tracks. So just, you know, making it, what's the word? The same. Making it all the same, consistent. There we go. Boom. Done it. Professional. And so at some point when I was streaming, I run out of space. And usually what I do is I'll just select unused files because there's a lot of like takes or old shit that I don't use anymore. Select unused files, delete. Did that. Unfortunately, Matt's vocals? I guess it's vocals. Were not on a track, and I deleted the file. Went back to the WeTransfer. That's gone. Expired, because who the fuck uses WeTransfer? Terrorists, that's who, I imagine. Went back to Matt. Matt's not got the file anymore, so that's gone forever. But in doing that and searching frantically for the file, I found a different conversation that I thought that I deleted, which is with Justine Jones from Employed to Serve. And I was gutted because we recorded this at the end of last year. And I thought I'd done the very same thing I'd done here, but to my vocals. Vocals? Speech track. Vocals, fuck it. So every cloud, I found a good episode of The Downbeat. You know, I'm quite happy about that. I'm gutted about the Matt one because it's a great conversation, but I'll just fucking phone him again. We'll have another little chat. He's got a lot of wisdom. So, yeah. My guest this week is... I've just realised I say guest. I don't even say guest. You probably think it's a sort of a processing issue. No, lazy man issue. Lazy man that can't speak properly issue. My guest this week is Justine Jones of Employed to Serve. She is the vocalist in Employed to Serve, who are like a metalcore band from the UK. Very talented individuals. And she is the co-runner, whatever, of Church Road Records, an independent record label with very cool bands. Employed to Serve just finished recording their album. And in fact, they were in the studio when we had this chat. Just a little few nuggets about that. Talk about owning a label. Talk about... yeah, cool shit. I can't really remember because it was fucking ages ago, but it was a lovely chat. Justine's a lovely person. Employed to Serve have a Patreon as well. So if you've got any money left over from giving me all your fucking money, you could give them some money. Or they do cool shit on their Patreon. I saw they did a cover of Dillinger the other day, like a full band cover. That's pretty fucking sick. And Church Road Records do like a subscription thing. Look at me plugging people. That's good, isn't it? You do like a vinyl subscription, which is cool. If you've got any money left over after buying my fucking shit first, please. Justine Jones on the Downbeat podcast. Justine Jones, the first woman in space. As in, you're the first woman on the Downbeat.
Hey!
Yeah, but that's more like, I feel terrible. But my thing is, right, I don't really ask people. I've just been letting people come to me. And then
it got to a point when I was like, right, okay, there's no women coming to ask me to come on and I need some sort of representation. So I started asking and then people started saying no. So then, and I was talking about it on a stream and I was like, come on, guys, help me think. And then someone mentioned you and I was like, fuck yeah, that's perfect.
Awesome.
So thank you for coming on.
No worries. Thank you. It's nice to talk to someone outside my house. No offense to my household.
How is your household? Why is it so bad? Go on.
Well, I've just been here since like, I mean, obviously very grateful I have somewhere to live, but I've just been here since what, like March? And like, it gets a bit like, oh, can't talk about anything because I know exactly what they've been up to.
Oh, I know. I'm literally the same thing. Obviously, it's fine and a lot of people have it much worse, but just sometimes I'm like, we've been doing the same thing all day, so I can't really hit you with anything. It's what me and Laika have been doing is like, when the other person's on their phone for like more than about 5 minutes, we're like, what's going on? Like, just to try and get some form of like outside anything entertaining happening on your phone. No, me neither. Just fucking scrolling through the same fucking apps.
Yeah, like I've gotten really, really addicted to dog videos and like animal videos in general. It's getting to the point people know to send them to me and I have to like fake laugh because I know I've already seen it, but I don't want to tell them I've already seen it because that's really sad.
What's your go-to? Because I'm like that with memes. When I've got like certain mates that send me memes and I've seen them, but I don't want to be like, yeah, I've already seen it. I just go like, usually I'll overcompensate and it's like 11. Like I'm fucking Mark from Peep Show. Yeah, that is funny.
Yeah, I go for the, what is it? 3 ha-has like together. But, or I go, ha.
Like, just the one.
Yeah. Like, ha, I don't know, ha's kind of like a bit like sarcastic though, like lol.
Do you use a lol? Like I use a lol and I use a lmao. I use them all the time. And the only the other day that someone was like, yeah, I hate that. And I was like, what? I'm doing it semi-ironically. Because like a capital LOL is like, I actually laughed. A full-on 100% laughed. A lowercase LOL to me is like a, like, yeah, that's funny. And then a lmao is like, I'm not actually laughing my ass off. My ass is intact, but it's more of like a,
You're one of those. I go for the cry face emojis because I usually cry when I laugh because it hurts.
Oh, yeah, but those ones to me seem slightly insincere.
Yeah.
The one that's like really fucking going nuts, cry laughing. I'm like, are you? Or are you just fucking sat there?
Or it's a bit like goadie, so they're like kind of laughing at you rather than with you. It's just like...
Yeah. So what's going on with ETS during this?
So we've actually been as busy as you can be during a pandemic. So we've like written an album and we've literally started recording it as of yesterday. Like Casey's putting drums down... these
Whoa, wait, recording drums. You're recording right now?
Yeah. They're literally just doing drum tack. What are they doing today? They're doing drum tracking for a few days and then I think guitar's next and then it's me. So I'm just chilling
what
at home.
Fucking good. What a good time to catch you. Where are you tracking?
We're with Lewis Johns at the ranch again. It's our 4th album with him and yeah. Really excited again. It's gonna be good.
Where is the ranch?
Southampton.
Is that the one? I think I know the one. Has it got fairy lights everywhere?
Yeah, it does actually in the live drum room. But yeah, it's where like Creeper recorded one of their records with Neil Kennedy. So like it's Lou and Neil there.
Fuck yeah! And Casey, of course, being your new drummer. And I helped sort that out.
Yeah, you did. You match made us.
How cool is that? He's such a fucking good drummer. And I like, I saw him kind of get, he got a little bit shafted by the Amity Affliction gig. Do you like I'm obviously I love Amity as well as Guy, so I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus. But for anyone who's listening, you probably already heard this story. Casey drum teched for Amity, and then when their drummer left on a tour that Stray was actually on, he filled in and he fucking smashed it. And then that drummer actually went on to quit, and then they didn't go with Casey, but he stayed being the drum tech. And I remember just thinking, what the fuck? Like, he's nailing it, he's doing fine. And then I always like was just a bit like, oh man, he needs a band. And then I spoke to Sammy at some point, and he was like, oh yeah, we actually need a drummer. And I was like, oh, this is who you want. I think I actually recommended two people, but you went with Casey.
Yeah, like, so we actually go quite far back with Casey, because we, on our first EP in 2014, we toured with Funeral for a Friend, and at that time he was drumming for them, so we've actually already sort of toured with him before. And he's like Lewis Johns' like favorite drummer, and he, like, every time we record with him, he's always like, oh, Casey's like really great. And we just known him as like a really good drummer, but we actually didn't think he'd be interested, because he does all the like sort of touring stuff of like Amity Affliction, and I think he filled in for a few other big bands. We were like, oh, he's gonna get paid. so we didn't initially ask him, but when you mentioned it, we were just like, oh yeah, like, fuck it, let's ask him. And he can only say no, and thankfully he didn't. So
I knew, because he'd actually hit me up maybe like a week before you guys, just because I'd replied to one of his fucking shredding videos, and I was like, man, you're so fucking good. And he was like, oh, I just wish I had a band. And then Sammy hit me up, and I was like, let's get all these people to just fucking fuck each other musically, obviously. A musical gangbang. And now you're fucking recording. Is it a full length?
Yeah, like, it's for like, it's proper metal as well. We're making him bust out his double kicks. So really excited about it. It's gonna be really cool. Well, I hope.
Am I getting a scoop then? Is this a scoop? Do people know this?
Actually, no. Like, I think, well, it depends when you release this, but like, we're gonna sort of like start doing we're in the studio and doing like videos and stuff.
So you're gonna want me to wait to release this?
No, it's totally fine. Like, I mean,
I can smash it up.
Yeah, you can smash it up.
Fuck yeah!
You can be like, yo, exclusive scoop. ETS are in the studio.
This is the fucking scoop. So let's go way back before we talk about your fucking album, because then that feels like press otherwise. How do we know each other?
Ooh, I don't. Do you know what? I don't know if I met you when you were in your Viatrophy days, because me and Sammy used to roll about the death metal scene quite a lot when we were like 16. And I know there's loads of bills. I think, did you tour with, you toured with Ingested, right?
And like, must have done, yeah, all the time.
Yeah, so like, we used to see them all the time, because like, we've known them since we were like young as well. So we might have crossed paths then, but I guess like officially I met you when we played some shows with Stray a couple years back.
That weird little sort of, was it the summer? It was like a summer Euro thing.
Yeah, it was in between festivals, wasn't it? I think it was like in between Grass Pop and With Full Force. I think, yeah, we did some shows in like France and one in Germany or two.
And we did Eindhoven. Did we do Eindhoven? We did that little tiny place on the street.
Oh, yeah. I remember that load-in, yeah.
that load-in, there was the little tiny stage in the back. And the show ended up being fucking sick. And there was the weed place nearby, because it was legal and everyone got fucking stoned except me, because it makes me anxious.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I just can't fucking do it. I wish I could, because I see people like who are just like, yeah, I watched all the new Star Wars and I just had a sweet joint. And I'm like, that would be my idea of hell. I would be fucking just on another planet. No, fucking, fucking robots, no.
Yeah, you just start pranging out about why your hands are by your sides and how weird they feel and stuff like that, and just, yeah.
Honestly, it's stuff like that. Am I walking weird? I'm pretty sure I'm walking weird. I don't normally walk like this. Like, why would anyone... I mean, I went through a period where, because it was helping me sleep, I was like, yeah, I would smoke it just before I went to bed. And then, yeah, exactly stuff like that. Like, I'm sure I don't usually use my arms like this. Am I out of the sight too much? Is something strange going on? And then an internal meltdown. I'm glad you're on the same fucking wavelength.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm a pansy with anything like that. I can't drink too much coffee. I can't... If I drink too much the next morning, I'm a mess.
I can do coffee. I tested coffee. I can do coffee, like, pretty close to bedtime and still not sleep. And
wow,
I can
that's
do,
mad.
And I can do no coffee and I can still not sleep. It's exactly the same. There's just no sleeping. So we met on that tour. And then we tried to get you for another tour and you turned it down.
Oh, we had our headline dates. We did want to do it. We did.
We were gutted. It was this time last year, that tour.
Yeah,
we were gutted.
It was.
And you know what? That tour was fucking sick and it would have been even sicker if you guys were there. But it was sick and everything worked out.
You guys took Loathe, didn't you, in the end?
Yeah, Stray, Devil Wears Prada, Gideon, Loathe.
Yeah, Loathe the sick.
They're so fucking
sick. Their new album's amazing.
I honestly, do you know what? That came out in like February, didn't it?
Yeah, literally just before the pandemic hit.
I went through a period of about 6 months from about March. This is, especially speaking to like a label owner, this is, I'm embarrassed by this. I went to a period from about March to, I would say, last month, where I just didn't listen to anything new music-wise because it would make me fucking depressed. Because I'd just be like, if I wasn't depressed for myself about it, like, oh, music's never coming back, I'd be depressed for the bands. Like, the Loathe album came out and I loved it. And then I tried to listen to it in lockdown. And all I could think was, they're just about to be like the world at their feet and they can't even fucking gig this fucking album. And I would be getting depressed for other people as well as my own depression. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to listen to Sepultura and fucking Meshuggah and just the same shit I always listen to. And then now I've started, when people's albums of 2020 come out, I'm like, oh, I should have checked that out. And now I'm checking it out and I feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I had a little bit of a phase of that, but in a weird sort of kind of optimistic way, I'm almost like, oh, hopefully bands will get bigger than if they were touring during lockdown because people have like all the time in the world to consume their whole back catalogue. I don't know. It could work either way. It could either get lost or like people just get really into it and like obsessive over stuff.
Right. I want to dig deep on that because that is a perspective I didn't even think about. And you... All right, let's do some background. You own a label with Sammy?
Yeah.
Or Sammy owns it and have you've come in on it? Is it both of yours?
Yeah, so basically Sammy started Church Road as a distro label, when was it? Like 3 years ago, like 2015? And then,
yeah.
2017, maths. And then, yeah, he's just recently started releasing bands. Like, we released our like little hardcore project, Glorious, on it, like this summer just gone. And then, yeah, like, then shit hit the fan and then I joined, like, full time.
Nice. Shit hit the fan. It certainly hit the fan. What, you reckon, have you got any, like, what's the word? Figures to back this up? As a label owner, you must be on top of the fucking streaming mountain. Are people listening to more music?
It's really hard to quantify, but I would say yes. And I feel people are more generous at the moment. Like those who can afford to, I feel like they're like buying more because like they've probably, the thing is as well, especially the people who are fortunate enough to sort of be on furlough. If you think about it, all their travel expenses and all their just general going out expenses have like gone. So they've kind of just sort of sitting at home really bored and they've got a turntable and speakers and they're like, well, I'm just going to buy loads of records. And that's kind of what it feels like to me at the moment. I mean, it could very well change when furlough fully ends. But at the moment, like I do feel like it's like online sales have like gone through the roof.
That's fucking cool. I feel like that's the same with the podcast merch, and I guess it's a clothing line now, it's separate from that. And like the Patreon for the podcast, I'm surprised, but mainly because in my head, everyone's a musician and everyone doesn't have work at the moment. So I'm like, oh, that's really nice of you. How have you got this money? I'm sure the whole world stopped. I tell you what, I'm fucking, this is boring adult conversation. I'm like getting a mortgage at the moment, talking to mortgage people.
That is well going up.
Oh, it's fucking shit. And they are so harsh, horrible and nosy to self-employed musicians. It is fucking crazy. They'll go like, yeah, so why aren't you teaching then? I'm like, well, there's no face-to-face stuff. Yeah, you could be teaching though, couldn't you? So, don't come at me. don't come at me with this stuff. Oh, well, surely you can't be just making money from a podcast. Like, fuck off. If this was like, I don't know, some other impacted business, like a barbershop, they'd probably be a bit more lenient, but they're going in on me, and I think it's because I'm a musician. They don't even know what I look like. Imagine how much more they go in on me. Like yeah. the doctors. Going to the doctors with, like, visible tattoos. Immediately they're like, which drugs do you want? Because you're not going to get them. Well, I don't want fucking drugs. I've hurt my wrist. You fucking wanker.
Yeah, they're like, are you a footballer? Right, must be drugs.
Okay, yeah, drugs. It's drugs. Musician, gigs are cancelled. Must be drugs. Absolutely fucking drugs. Did you just launch, is it Palm Readers? Did Palm Reader come out on Church Road?
Yeah, so like, so we literally just released that last Friday. We released their album Sleepless, and it's really fucking good.
Everyone's fucking talking about it. I see it fucking going around the place. I used to share a practice room with Palm Reader. They're lovely, lovely boys.
Yeah, they're wicked dudes. But yeah, like, it's gone really, really well. Like, so happy because, like, it's like kind of like we were saying, like, with whole sort of COVID and stuff, not being able to tour, you do kind of worry about, like, you know, with no actual release shows and like release tours, it's like kind of really hard to sort of gauge how well an album's gone down. But like, yeah, like all of the online feedback's been amazing. Like sales have been really good, and yeah, just really excited for them. This is like their 10th year, I think, as a band, or it was last year, it was their 10th year. So like, I feel like now people are like, oh yeah, this band are really good. We should like get on board with them. So yeah, it feels like that's happening now.
I always thought that with them, because even like, so we record with Will Putney, and then when the first time I met Will and we were talking about UK bands, and he was like, oh, I fucking love that Palm Reader band. And it, like, everyone loves them, but they're not massive. And I would, if I was them, which I'm not, and I'm admittedly a hot-headed, rash decision maker, I would have faked a breakup and changed name about 5 years ago. And I would have put the band back together again with exactly the same lineup, and then to get that new band hype. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Devil Sold His Soul. I would have done it with Devil Sold His Soul as well. Guys, we're breaking up. Last show. Oh, fucking shit. Oh, it sucks. Guys, new band. Ex-members of Devil Sold His Soul. It's the same fucking band. And then you get that new boost. I've never seen it done. Like, that would be my play, and I wonder if that's a terrible plan and people would see through it. I mean, they will now. It will now. Just Stray breaks up, and then I'm like, hey, guys, new band. It's me, Tom, Drew, Dragonneck. And it's called...
Foolproof.
Play from the Path.
But what if no one gets on board with it? That would be so depressing. So you go through all that hassle, and you'd be like, oh, fuck, actually, people really don't care. There's always that danger.
I don't think if the music is good enough, I don't think they would. I think, I don't know. I Palm Reader is one of those bands that I like. Sometimes I'll fucking just be like, why isn't everyone mad about him? Even the name's fucking sick. The imagery's sick. Like, what happened? Obviously, they're fucking still sick and they're killing it, but they should be bigger than they are.
Oh, 100%.
At what it makes me think, it was there a decision at some point that someone took that was the wrong decision, and that just made it just the trajectory go down a little bit? I wonder if maybe they had a shitty manager or something, and it was like, we should be doing this, guys, when it actually wasn't that. Because I feel like Viatri had that problem.
Yeah, do you know what my theory is? I think it's because they started in the dreaded 2010s. Now, I was like 18 or whatever when that happened. So, but like, I swear there was like a real drought for like music, like around 2010 to 2013. There was like, it felt like loads of new bands weren't really like continuing, or they would split up after an EP. They would never really survive to an album. And then like, I don't know, like this kind of music scene just seemed to have like a bit of a lull. And then like after that point, I feel like it went up. So like when you got bands like Conjurer, who started, I think, in 2017, that was when people really started taking notice, like, of new bands. And I noticed like magazines and stuff like really on board of like championing new bands. Because like, ETS had that. Like, loads of people think like Eternal Formation is either our second or our first album, but we've been around since like 2014. But it's almost like no one really knew. It's so weird. I don't know what happened, but
yeah. Oh, you're so right though. Let's figure out what happened. I want to figure out what happened, because you're right. 2010, you had Viatri split up in 2010 because we didn't have a booking agent that was good, and we didn't have a manager that was good, so we didn't know what we were fucking doing. And I feel like if somebody had managed us, maybe it is that the managers of the time were going after different bands. Like, as in, I'm not saying you need a manager to be successful, but sometimes you do. Sometimes you need a manager just to be like, this is the way that we're going. I remember Viatri, we were on Avocado, but they weren't fucking doing anything for us. And then Avocado is a booking agent, if anyone doesn't know that. And they are very good, so I'm not slagging them off. And then we weren't happy with them. And then Becky from the agency came to watch us, and then she said no. And then that kind of just gave us a little bit like, what the fuck? What the fuck is the point? We don't have a booking agent, we don't have a manager. And then we broke up. I wonder if managers were going after a different type of music instead of heavy music then.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I genuinely, like, heavy music is fashionable at the moment, which is mental. Like, I go to Urban Outfitters, and I'm in fashion at the moment. I'm never in fashion. So, like, it's just really funny, like, kind of walking around. I'm like, literally, there's like, I gauge it by the teenage girls. They have started wearing what I wear. So I'm like, oh, shit, I'm actually, like, you can tell, like, tattoos and like sort of, you know, Vans and like black skinny jeans and that are like all in fashion. And I think like any band that's sort of like not heavy but looks heavy is like really like just immediately a hit and stuff like that. So I also think, you know, that is exactly it. I think like booking agents weren't really interested in like heavy music. They were more after like pop punk bands. I think there was a huge pop punk resurgence.
Yeah.
Like, so I remember like bands like Basement and like Narwhals and stuff like doing really well, and like Story So Far, like they were like really blowing up around then.
Where did Narwhals go? That band was sick.
I don't know. I think they just sort of split up. I think, yeah, I don't really know, to be honest.
That is a fucking shame, like, because they were blowing up, absolutely blowing up, and then they just fucking split up.
Yeah,
Dead Swans, another one.
Yeah,
I played
Dead
drums
Swans.
In Dead Swans for a bit. Fucking unbelievable two albums. And it just broke up. And I know from being inside that band that it's a classic case of if they'd had a manager to be like, this is the trajectory, this is what we're doing, this is when the album needs to be written, this is when it needs to come out in order for us to get this festival, in order to do that, then they probably would have stayed together and probably would have been massive. Like, you don't support Bring Me the Horizon and do badly from it unless there's some serious fucking internal issues.
Yeah, that's it. Like, it's I also think, kind of going back to sort of like that whole era, I don't feel like fans obviously have always been supportive, but they were nowhere near as supportive as they are now. And I don't know if that's because of things like Patreon, like Twitch and like all the social media. I think because like social media has like dropped the veil and people can go actually like, oh fuck, these bands are really poor, they can't even buy a coffee today kind of thing. They're like, oh, actually, yeah, streaming all the time probably isn't helping them, you know, and they're like more like up for like buying your shit and like, you know, buying more than one variant.
I think it is coming out, like, even I think COVID's fucking just made it even more at the forefront of people's minds that everyone that you thought was rich is not rich.
Yeah, literally. Like it's mad. Like the perception of bands and like the reality is just, it's so huge. Like, so basically I can't remember one of my like shit jobs I had before, I was working for a label. I was just like in, and like one of the like customers knew I was in a band. They're like, wow, I heard you played on like the radio and rock show. You must be quitting your job tomorrow, right? And I'm like, ha, wrong.
Some people still think like that.
Yeah, literally.
Even though, if you thought about it, because the PRS for being played on the radio and rock show is sick, but it happens once in a blue moon because of the variety of the show. You're not getting played, and it's only 2 hours long. You don't get played on it every week. But I can't remember what it is. The PRS for being on Radio 1, if anyone doesn't know, PRS is Performing Rights Society, who collect money on your behalf whenever a song, like a composition that you've written, is on the radio or TV or whatever. But it's something like £13 per 30 seconds of music, I think. Or maybe even more than that. It might even be £13 per 10 seconds of music. So on the radio, on rock show, you get your song played, it's like 80 quid or whatever. But imagine like Beyonce.
Yeah.
She's on at least like 2 times an hour on at least maybe even 4 times a fucking hour. That is, you could live off your PRS. So while your favourite musicians in metal or whatever are poor, the pop musicians are fucking killing it.
Oh yeah, like massively so. It's just, and the thing is as well, when you're like a solo artist, there's less hands in the pot. Like when you're a band, you have to split everything, like you split things 5 ways, like, you know, and there's obviously, you know,
it's 5 ways of whatever's left.
Exactly, like after you've paid all your crew and stuff like that. And then you got really boring shit, like, what was it we bought the other day? We bought new drum heads for recording. It was like 200 quid and it's like the most boring thing in the world, but it's so expensive. And you're just sort of like, it's just like stuff like that. And like, I don't think people, like, even I forget like how much stuff costs. Like you're kind of just like going on tour and you're like, right, we need like a whole like wad of sticks. We need like a whole box of strings. And then like, you know, before you've even started the tour, like you're already like down like X amount. And it's just like this weird like kind of thing where everyone just thinks because you're like playing in front of so many people, they're like, yeah man, they're killing it, I bet, like, you know, drinks are on them.
Oh yeah. And the gear must all be free. Like it's not, it's a discount, but because of the rate that you use the stuff, you probably end up more than fucking Joe and Jenny who are in their practice room using the same drum heads for a whole year. But having said that, I do get free drum heads, so don't let Casey do that again.
Ooh.
Am I getting trouble for saying that? No. But has he got a deal? I'll send him a fucking email.
Fuck yeah.
Because, like, you're recording a fucking professional album. Like, it looks good for it would look good for Evans to be on that. A couple of fucking photos, slap it up, blah, blah, blah. I can't really talk. But I guarantee you when I retire from touring, I'll try and do a fucking A&R thing at a drum company, because I'd be relentless. I'd be like, oh, this motherfucker right here, he's not getting anything for free. When was the last time you posted some fucking content? I get really fucking annoyed with that. I see there's a little bit, certain companies, there's a little bit of like a boys club where the people who are mates with the artist rep get the best treatment, even if that person's not doing as much Like right now, it's weird how so many musicians, I don't know if you've noticed this, have like just dropped off the radar because they're not touring. It's proven you need to, as like a musician, you need to be diverse. Like you've got a label as well. You need to diversify your income because COVID's just completely stopped fucking touring. But I see people who are normal touring people like, oh yeah, just got a new kit. And in my head, I'm like, from a business point of view, why the fuck have you just been given a new drum kit? You're not posting videos of it and you're not going on tour. You're just mates.
Yeah, it's such a weird one, isn't it? Because I totally get why companies wouldn't want to like give out stuff at the moment. But it's, yeah, it's really interesting sort of what you're sort of saying about the whole like diversifying during COVID. Like you see it like massively. I mean, obviously you got your podcast and you've started doing Twitch as well, I think now.
Oh, my fingers are firmly in every single fucking pie right now. Clinging on. Still can't get a mortgage. Clinging on.
One day you'll get one.
Fucking day.
But like, I think like, you know, Matt Heafy's like the prime example. He's like the absolute king. Like, I don't know how he has that kind of energy to do it, but like it's just people like him just like really showing that you can actually make money from music. And like I think it's gonna be quite interesting going back after COVID, because I do wonder if like live streaming shows and stuff is still going to be a thing, because it's like another like, you know, way of making money, so like bands can actually get paid.
It's funny you say that about going back, right, when things go back to normal, because I was thinking an opposite point, but also the same as what you were thinking, really, when you said Matt Heafy. I'm like, I wonder how many musicians won't come back, or will just be like, oh, you know, we used to tour 6 months out of the year. Well, fuck that, because I get paid $800 a month to play video games at home. So I will give you two headline tours in a year and fuck off. But then your point is like, will live stream gigs happen? I was talking to a friend who is like a promoter, and he basically, I think he had like just optimistic, like, yeah, when gigs are back, these live stream gigs will be over. I'm not even going to invest. I'm not going to do anything about it. And in my head, I'm like, is he right? Or are live stream gigs going to be the thing now? I can't decide which I think will happen.
I feel like it would be a halfway house. Like, I feel like there would be certain shows, like, for example, the London Headline Show, where bands are, like, spending the big bucks on, like, the pyro and stuff like that, and they can make some real cool, like, live videos out of it. I think, like, there'll be, like, one out of a tour or something might be live streams.
Oh, like, that's a fucking a best of both worlds.
Yeah, because you don't want to be like, oh, it's, like, you know, my set in Scunthorpe. Like, no offence, Scunthorpe.
You joke. I think I slagged Hull off once, and now all of Hull hates me.
Oh, I love. Do you know what? I love Hull. Like, I don't know.
You love Hull?
Yeah, literally. Like, their music scene is like one of my favorites. Like, they have this what are they called? Hull Noise Collective, and they have like this little practice studio called Gorilla Studios. Funnily enough, yeah, like they hooked us up with a last minute like practice room show when one of our like in-stores fell through, and it was sick. Like, it was packed. So yeah, if you ever fancy it, everywhere else in Hull's not great. I mean, I reckon
I'd be killed. Honestly, I really upset some Hull people.
Oh, I'll talk to my contacts.
please let the country of Hull know that I'm willing to pay penance for my sins. Now is the time for, like, back on the street live streaming thing. What you said, maybe one show, a tour, streaming it. Now is the time, right? If I wasn't spread so fucking thinly over Twitch and podcasts or whatever, I would be investing in live streaming stuff for that reason. Because imagine you have a company and then that does it all, does the ticketing and does everything. And then you could just turn around and be like, oh, you know, you've got this headline tour. Give us $3,000. We'll live stream this show and then we'll keep the profits or whatever, or split the profits. You could make fuckloads of money.
Yeah,
I can't imagine how many people watch the Architects one.
Yeah, I know. I need to still watch that one. But like, yeah, like that looked amazing. I could imagine like someone like Live Nation getting on board. I mean, it's definitely something like...
I don't want that. I want a small man. I want a small... Or woman. I want a small person to just dominate. I wonder if it's happening. I just don't know. Like, I feel like someone has to start the live streaming company.
Yeah.
If they're not, they're fucking up. Because now is the time to like hone... the skills. Even with the podcast, I've been slowly buying, which is actually fucking disrupting my mortgage application. I've been buying cameras and live streaming stuff because I want to live stream the podcast from now on, whenever it's done in person. But then in doing that, I've realized how easy it is. Like, you get a 5G router, you get a little SIM card that's unlimited data, three cameras, a switcher, and someone to operate it, and you can, like, obviously it won't look as good as the architect's one or whatever, but it would be a genuinely live stream. A lot of these, like I don't know which ones, but a lot of these live streams are, they're not live, because if they did it live and everything fucked up, then everyone would want their money back, so it's done like a couple of hours before or whatever. But you could genuinely live stream live with a relatively small budget. You can make a pretty decent little business. I might do it.
Yeah. Or, like, to be fair, like, I've actually been sort of thinking about if bands do it themselves. Because everyone, like, who can, you know, when you can afford, like takes a videographer on, you just need to get one extra person and he's your live stream guy or girl. And, like, you know, you can have just two people doing things and you can get the best of both worlds and like somehow cut a deal with a promoter where you give them a percentage or something and then just have all this sick footage just to sort of put online.
Oh my God. I've just thought we've just created my new idea, because I'm going to have all this shit to live stream anyway.
Yeah.
I'll just start another Twitch account for Stray from the Path, and then... Oh no!
Then you better get your mortgage.
No, because we're very much, and so am I. Genuinely, this is. I'm just going to put this idea out here for someone else who's far more capitalist than me. Because in my head, I want everyone to be able to watch everything for free, and that's probably why I can't get a mortgage, because I'm not like monetizing things that I should be. But you could. Someone could, if they had all the equipment to live stream, which isn't that much. You could make a Twitch channel and it was subscriber only video, and then you're like, oh, we're live streaming three shows this tour, so everyone would put their sub in for that month and then they'd be able to watch the live stream.
Yeah.
You make fuck loads of money.
Yeah, and
I
like,
don't wanna, it's like greedy, so I don't wanna do it.
It is and it isn't. If it's like cheap enough, if it's like £3, like if it's less than a Tesco meal deal, like it's like nothing, like for people to sort of just chuck it. And like, obviously a lot of people argue that, oh, would it make people not want to leave their houses? But you can like see if you can like make it geo-specific. So anyone within...
Oh yeah, the football effect.
Within,
why,
like,
they don't show 3 o'clock football.
Yeah, like you can literally just sort of like hope, like in theory, you can like block it so certain people in parts of the country that could come to the show, like, you know, don't have that option. And then you could, like, you know, if you have like, I don't know, your US fans, if you're doing your London show, and like they can chuck you like a quid or like £3, or if you like do it for your Patreons or any, you know, someone more like that. I think there's ways around it. Like, I do feel like bands, like, in order to get big, or like, you know, big, like, i.e. be able to afford to live off of it and like get to the point where they're nice and high up on a stage at Download Festival, like, you know, and like festivals as well, like, I feel like there needs to sort of be a bit of a monetary boost so they can afford to do the bigger videos, they can, you know, afford to do like the adverts and, you know, just generally exist.
I feel like Spotify needs to just do what Bandcamp's doing. One day a fucking month. I think, what, Bandcamp, are they doing it every Friday at the moment? Or
yeah,
is it one
literally
Friday a month?
First Friday of every month, they're doing like no revenue share days. And it's like, it's been incredible. It's been so helpful this year.
If Spotify did that for one fucking day, we'd all be fucking rich.
Yep.
Oh, it drives me mental, and it's annoying because it's like a necessary evil, because Spotify have the best platform. They have the best, like, playlists. They're all sick. They have the best. They're just the best, and I just wish that they were very slightly more the best to us. Just like, get just one day a month. That's it. That's how I'll take that.
Yeah, it's such a hard one, isn't it? Because, like, I love the fact that they've given a very affordable option for people who don't have a lot of money. Like, you know, because when, you know, I was younger, like, CDs were £20. And, like, sometimes I'd buy a CD that I hated and I'd force myself to like it because I spent all my money on it. So, like, I love the idea that, you know, a kid growing up who hasn't got that much money can, for, like, £10 a month worth of Get the Family Spotify thing, can consume as much music as they want to. I think
can
that's
skip the first track and say that's fucking shit on 10 albums a fucking day.
They can be
that's
honest.
Crap. Intro, fuck off. I feel like it is making it better. It's making it hard, and everyone's attention span is zero. So, like, I love the fact that intro tracks are gone.
Yeah.
You can't have a fucking spooky
orchestral intro that lasts like 5 minutes.
Yeah. You can't, unless you're Dimmy Borgir, you can't do that. And even if you are Dimmy Borgir, you're not making fucking music. But they're gone. Especially, I've got nothing wrong with the orchestral ones, but the ones that are like just a fucking, like the deathcore ones, we all did it. First track, the burner track, just transmitting, and then the biggest song second after that.
And no more Family Guy samples. Ugh.
Oh, fuck. Do you know what? I feel like that's why Suicide Silence are as big as they are. I feel like musically they weren't doing anything better than any of those other bands at the same time. They were all as good as each other, like All Shall Perish and shit like that, but they just fucking got so big because of those Family Guy samples.
Oh yeah, because everyone had that as their MySpace profile song, right?
Yep. They had the Family Guy samples at the beginning and before breakdowns, and at the time it was the funniest fucking thing. I will hold my hands up and say I thought it was the funniest fucking thing on earth. And it made the band massive.
I think you're onto something there.
Like, bring them back. Bring samples back. gold foil hoodies, samples. I mean, we've got samples, but they're not like funny samples.
50-inch stretches.
I'm starting a live stream only band. It's deathcore. All the big samples, Mandalorian samples in there, whatever's big now. We're going to have fucking Baby Yoda before breakdowns. And it's all being live streamed at twitch.com/ fucking the Mandagorian.
There we go. You're on it.
I can't believe I came up with that so quickly. The Mandagorian, and it's a gore grind, death grind with samples. It's streamed exclusively by me, and I'm gonna be rich. I'll be able to get that fucking mortgage. We should probably talk about your album.
Yeah, I should probably.
Can you tell
should
me?
Probably learn the rest. Are of you those songs.
Are you annoyed that this isn't very professional? I don't really do it very professional.
No, I genuinely prefer things like this because I feel a little bit less awkward, which is nice.
I can't stand doing like even then when I was like, you should probably tell me about your album. But so tell me about da 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 da.
Tell me, how did you feel when you wrote those lyrics?
Oh, honestly, I'll tell you what. Before we do your fucking album, before we do the plug, what's it like being a girl in the, I know you get this all the time from the fucking press, but in the terms of a listening platform, it's probably quite wise. And in terms of me learning stuff, is it shit? Is it hard? Is it harder? Is it sexist being a girl in an insanely male dominated genre, or have you found it all right?
I mean, I don't really ever know how to answer that question, apart from the fact I see a lot of bum cracks on tour because no one in my band wears a belt. But like,
nice. I've seen a lot of Sammy's bum crack, actually. When you just said that, in my head I was like, yeah, Sammy's bum crack is always out.
So that's the downside. But like, yeah, like, it's always a weird one because I mean, there are probably like moments in time that I can think of where I was probably treated differently because I am a woman. But I don't know. I feel like people are quite clued up to it now. Like, obviously, there's always going to be certain scenes that are like a bit behind and stuff like that. But I feel like our scene as a whole is very conscious of it. And it's hard because I grew up playing football and, you know, back when I was into sports before I was into metal, like, I've always just sort of been in a very male dominated sort of, I don't know, I guess realm. That sounds a bit mystical. Area, yeah. I guess.
Football's not really a mystical realm.
No, it definitely isn't.
The least mystical realm on earth.
Most basic. But yeah, like, it is a weird one. But like, I don't know, it's just such a part of who I've always been. It's not something I think about much, if you know what I mean.
But you don't get, because in my head, I can't think off the top of my head of anything I've seen to the contrary, other than online. Do you know what I saw the other day? Something that was like, it wasn't even for music, but it was like just inherent, ingrained sexism in like it was a review of something that someone was writing. And it was just like such a miss. And it was like, you know when someone's like accidentally racist because of just institutionalized racism, and in your head you're like, I'm sure that person is not racist, but they are just an idiot.
Yeah.
It was like, I tell you what it was. I remember exactly what it was. I was reading reviews of webcams because I wanted to get a webcam for fucking this Twitch thing, trying to make that fucking money. And I was reading it, and it got to one, and it had a ring light built into the webcam. I've got a ring light right now, see? That's makes it look a bit nice.
There we go.
And it had a ring light built into it. I'm reading it, it was like, oh yeah, I'm like, this might be the one that I get. The last sentence was, female gamer, ? This is the one for you. And well, I was just like,
men might want to look good.
Well, that's why I bought it, because I look good now. And it was just like that, like, I'm sure that person wasn't sexist, but them not knowing that that's not an okay thing just made me sort of despair a little bit.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that happens with, like, in my head I'm visualising maybe a sound guy mansplaining. Does that happen?
Well, yeah, like when we used to have in-house people, it used to be like, my favourite was when we used to turn up to a venue after a 10-hour drive and they were like, oh, don't really like, you know, mix your kind of music. You like that shouty stuff? Oh, it's like, that's the kind of, yeah, that kind of person.
But nothing like inherently sexist about it.
Yeah, it's just, it's weird. It's sort of like, it's almost backhanded. They think they're being nice.
But, yeah, but I would imagine maybe you get more than that, more of that. But it doesn't sound like you do. You don't get the female gamer. This is the fucking camera for you. If you can't think of it off the top of your head, then it,
no. I mean, there's been times where like security have like asked me for my pass way more times than everyone else. But I don't know.
That sucks.
But like, it's one of those things. It's just like, whatever. Like, I'm sure this will change. Oh, I tell you what really pisses me off. Bloody Vans, right? Vans not having a mirror on the visor thing. It's like, what, like, men who have drive vans and stuff don't seem to like want to look at how they.
Yeah, but yeah. Now you're being sexy.
But no, that's what I mean. It's almost like the companies like doing it, like, oh, they won't want to look at themselves. But I feel like there should be more mirrors in like the van visor thing.
Oh, I smashed my mirror in mine the other day. Not in my van, in my car. And I will admit it was in an act of road rage. And it wasn't road rage at anyone else. I got really fucking annoyed and I was like, fuck, and I punched the ceiling and I forgot about it.
Oh no.
And then I went to check my makeup a few days later and pulled the thing down, just broken glass all over me.
Oh, no.
Idiot.
What if that's affected your actual mortgage application? You don't realise it. That's bad luck.
Don't say that, because I have actually had a real spate of bad luck since that happened, up to and including being having shattered glass poured all over my body. If anyone's listening, I'm not an angry driver. It was... No, I am quite an angry driver. What's that? There's no coming back from that. Just people, just fucking drive better, please. I feel quite relieved that you don't have like 100 stories of sexism that you've encountered. It makes me feel a bit proud for metal and heavier music.
I mean, I definitely know like other women in bands who've got like way more than me, but I don't know if I'm just oblivious to it or like... I'm just always just sort of like buried in my emails and like not really, or like in a tired stupor. So I don't really notice much.
Zines. Sometimes I catch the odd sentence and I'm like, come on, it's 2020. The whole female fronted. I remember for a long time it was like the top 10 hottest babes in rock or whatever, and it was like, okay, that's fine, but you ain't got the top 10 hottest men in the same magazine. You're not doing, and it's, I mean, back in the day it wasn't like a multi, like just top 10 hottest people used to be in magazines. It used to be like 9 women and then a 10th bloke that sort of looks like a woman, sort of looks like a woman. So like 9 women and then Brian Molko from Placebo. Do you know what I mean? But now it's better. But I still catch the odd thing where I'm like, they're just sometimes missing the mark. But I'm so glad to hear from you that on the whole, it's not the most sexist hellhole around.
Yeah, like I feel like it's, yeah, it's not something like that bums me out or anything like that. It's like, yeah, it just doesn't really seem to like... affect me really.
Good. Well, that actually honestly makes me feel better. If only we could get over the camera, the ring light. Girl gamer, this is the one for you. Fuck off. I got really annoyed. I was like, fuck off. Why do you assume? Oh, very annoyed. Anyway, come on, tell me about your fucking album. What are you doing? What's it's heavier, but at the same time it's more diverse. That's me being that's the classic.
That is like, it's the heavy, it is literally the heaviest thing ever. We've turned into a real metal band though, like think sort of like 2000s era, like Machine Head, Lamb of God kind of style, like Double Kick, that kind of stuff. We've gone fully in with Casey and his Double Kick. He probably hates us for it because he's in the studio as we speak getting calf cramp.
So you, if someone asked me to describe Employed to Serve, I would be like, it's kind of like Slipknot-y, Wilhaven-y metal.
Yeah.
Is that still, A, is that accurate? As an old man, that's what I would say. Am I accurate?
Yeah, like for like our current stuff, it's definitely like leaning towards that kind of stuff. But it's like, it's weird. This new album like sounds like us, but it's definitely like sort of more towards your download sort of festival, your sort of like metal festival friendly kind of realm.
So what you got more breakdowns or you got sing along?
We have solos, which I'm well stoked on. We have solos, which I'm it's gonna be fun.
So what, wait, no solos until this point?
Don't think so.
Sammy soloing.
Yeah. He's gonna have his hair, and we're gonna get wind machines. No, we won't get wind machines, but we can do if we want to.
He's not gonna. Is it Machine Head that's got the guy that falls asleep?
I don't know. That sounds funny.
Someone's got the guitarist who literally I can't remember. There's a video and they fall asleep on stage. I can't remember what it is. I don't know. I don't even know. I might be wrong. It might be a fit or something. So let's hold all judgment or saying it's funny or anything because I've got no idea. Anyway, hopefully Sammy's not falling asleep. Have you got a title for it? Have you got... I mean, that would really be a scoop. You don't have to tell me. You could say no.
I won't leak that just yet. But I'm sure we're like... I reckon in the new year we'll probably say anyway. But like, so we're like recording that at the moment and we're going to launch our... Well, we would have launched our Patreon probably by the time this comes out. So we're doing one of those, which I'm very excited about doing because...
Oh!
Jumping on that.
Talk me through that. Come on, let's make this the advert for that now. We've done it. And this can just come out on the same day. And that's good for everyone.
Yeah, basically, we have hard drives and hard drives of lots of footage for all these tours that we've been doing and like festivals and stuff. And we've never been able to sort of release it in a good way. Like when you put stuff up on YouTube, it kind of just dies and just sort of sits there. No one's like that fussed. So like, I like the idea of like being able to have like a platform where we can just put all of our like kind of like outtakes or like just fun things. Cause like when you're on your like Instagram and like social media, you're supposed to be this sort of serious kind of entity. Whereas like, I feel like with things like Patreon, you can like kind of sort of share your actual personality on it, for want of a better word.
So it's going to be like videos and shit.
Yeah. So basically it's like a way to sort of like, yeah, like spread all of our sort of like news before it's, you know, goes public and just sort of like, you know, be more of a fan club. And, you know, in all honesty, like not having festival season this year has cut our budget as well. So it also helps that.
Honestly, what's your tiers? How much are we talking?
What was it? I should have been more prepared for this. It's
come on.
Right. Tier one is a fiver. And then tier 10 is a tenner. And we came up with a fun pun for each one. I can't even think of them. I spend my... cut that bit.
You can't, I'm gonna have to cut that. I'm not cutting anything. where can they go and look at the Patreon? See what they can get.
It will be on our Instagram. It will be linked on there.
Which is just at Employed to Serve.
Yeah, nice. Correct. And easy. Yeah.
Nice and easy. Got a nice fucking blue tick there. What else can you tell me about this new album then? You got solos? You got any guest vox? Just you?
We have got guest vocalists, but I don't know, they haven't all confirmed yet, but we've got mates on it and
who
I'm very
you
excited.
Asked? Come on. Who have
so
you asked?
We've asked
and
Larissa...
if they say no, you can shame them.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. I have to make him then. So we've got Larissa from Venom Prison. She's gonna do like, we're gonna give her like a sick like mosh call, I think, into a breakdown.
She was nearly the first woman on the downbeat.
Did she say no to you?
No, I don't know, but this is one of the things where I asked and then their press agent said yeah, and then they said how'd you do it, and I explained the setup and this is what we do, and then radio silence.
Aww.
And then I've had other people who I'm friends with, girls, and I've been like, do you want to come on? And then they've gone, nah, I'm actually a bit intimidated by you. And I'm like, oh, okay. So you said, yeah, but I'd love to have Larissa on as well, but someone.
Well, I'll give her a nudge.
Either she said no or her press team said no.
Uh-huh.
I keep getting press teams in trouble, actually, because I don't think of this as press at all. If I like do, if I'm set up to do one with someone, and I haven't got, like, I was supposed to do one the other day with someone, and I hadn't been sent the EP, and it got to the day of it, and I let the person I was doing the interview know, I was like, I haven't got the EP yet, and I think they went fucking nuts at their press team. And then I was like, oh, I felt like a snitch. I was fucking snitching people. I'm like, all right, won't be getting any more from you. But I hate thinking of it as press. I can't be arsed.
No, I obviously it is like a tool for press or a podcast, but I feel like podcasts are way more sort of like fun than that. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit more like a general chat. It's like eavesdropping on a pub conversation more than, I don't know, like an article.
So
it's like this and this is happening by this.
this is it. And it, and she's in our top 10 rockest babes of the decade with Brian Molko and Larissa and Nightwish. And there's always the same fucking ones. Let's get some more ladies in metal, can we?
Yeah, let's do it. Who else is it? Oh, and we've asked the guys from Conjure as well. Dan and Brady.
Which guys?
Dan and Brady.
Nice. That'd be sick.
So yeah, we've got like mates on this space. Oh, we kind of like, we did it for most of our albums, apart from the last one. We've kind of like made a habit of like getting friends that we toured with like extensively that year or that album cycle to sort of like be on it. And we got Drew on our remix track as well, didn't we? That was really cool. I'm really happy you did that.
That's why I ask, because you've always had, a bit like us, we always try and get some people in, but we always plan it mega early. And then luckily, by the time they've come to do it, they've already said yes, but they're big.
Yeah.
So like, we got Brian when Knock Loose were like tiny, and we were like, you got to sing on the song. And then by the time the song comes out, Knock Loose are the fucking biggest band on earth. And it was good.
Awesome. Yeah, because that's the thing, because like a lot of sort of people are always like, oh no, you got to like ask someone who's really big. And I'm like, nah, fuck that. Like I like, you know, friends being on our tracks. Because for me, like when I record an album, it sort of earmarks like a moment in time. So I like it when I have like mates who are on it, who I like was spent a lot of time with around that album cycle on there, because I'm like, oh, that was cool. Because I like the idea of when I'm like old, I can be like telling people, going, oh, this is when I was in a band.
And here's a picture of us together and the song we were on.
And we shared our packet of crisps and our beer.
Oh, fuck me. Many packets of crisps, many beers. I'm trying to think of the venue. There was another venue that we played in on that Euro tour. And someone made me play Vyatrophy songs in soundcheck with your guitarist. What was that thing?
Oh, the one with Rich. It was the French one, wasn't it?
Is that what it was? It was a strange show. And Rich isn't in the band now. Rich has moved to Japan.
He's finally moved to Japan. So he, like, since I've known him, he's wanted to be in Japan. And so, yeah, now he's like, it's really awesome. Like now he's like marrying he's married now to his Japanese girlfriend, and they're moving over. So that's going to be really nice.
Is he in Tokyo?
I think he is in Nagoya.
Oh, fuck, that's so cool. I'm really jealous.
I'm really excited though, because he'll be like well settled in by the time like I make it over there, because I want to go on holiday there. So he can show me the ropes. So I'm excited about that.
Have you guys never been? ETS has never been?
No, like, you know, we've asked and stuff. So, like, hopefully at some point, because I think we were, like, speaking to someone about it, but, like, before lockdown hit. So, hopefully, like, after this album campaign or something, we can go. That'd be really sick. They're in Australia. It's, like, places I've always wanted to go.
It's just, Japan is just the fucking best. And, in fact, Nagoya has this sick, tiny little venue right next to a record shop. And the hardest moshing I've ever seen in my life at this venue in Nagoya. It was like, I don't want to sound stereotyping, but literally kung fu fighting, like martial arts, psychotic behavior. I loved it.
Yeah, like I sort of, I heard, because like Renounce played there before lockdown. And they said it was like the wildest pits they've ever seen. But like there was like so everyone was like really polite. And then like a breakdown hit in, and then like the politeness goes out the window and everyone's just like killing each other.
Immediate ninja mode activated. But it's sick. You guys would go down so well there. It'd be so sick.
Oh man.
Maybe we'll take you.
Oh, please do. Because do you know what? I really want to go to Nerds Records. In Tokyo as well.
Oh, fuck, yeah. The guy that runs that is a fucking hero as well.
He's so sick. Like, I've been speaking to him, like, for, like, 5 or 6 years over email, because, like, he buys, like, our releases and stuff. And, but I've just always wanted to go, because his store looks amazing.
Was he, he's either in the band Doggy Hoods or he's friends with all those Doggy Hoods guys. You ever seen the Doggy Hoods merch?
No.
They're like a fuck. They're a Japanese hardcore band, and it's like the singer, I think, dresses like a police officer, and they've got this hype man on stage. I'm sure the hype man is maybe the guy from Nerds.
That rings a bell, yeah.
And
that sounds
it's
sick.
The most insane band I've ever seen, but it was the first time I really saw, like, you know, like the ripping off 90s death metal logos in hardcore bands, which the fucking Downbeat does all the time. It was the first time I saw that. It was like I was there with BWP, and the band that supported was Doggy Hoods, and it was the Possessed logo, but it said Doggy Hoods. And I was like, that is the fucking sickest thing I've ever seen. And then watched them play, and it was absolutely nuts. Combined with the ninja psychotic moshing. Just an unreal place.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Also, I just, like, when my friends went there, and, like, when he, like, he sent me a photo of, like, just their, like, not their bus, and it was, like, you know, like, the Dumb and Dumber van, like, the dog van. It was literally, like, a dog bus. But it was just, there was just, like, these business people, like, going to work on this
completely
dog bus.
Normal.
Like, as if, like, it's not weird that there's a dog bus. It's,
yeah,
like,
there's,
it's
like,
sick.
Pokemon trains and shit. And everyone's just around this, like, you know, like, I mean, my girlfriend's pretty much one. Just, like quirky Hello Kitty shit everywhere. Like, you all know, like, a girl that's like that. But Japan, everyone's like that, and it's completely normal. Like, you go, I'm getting on the Hello Kitty bus, and then I'll get on the dog train to go to the Pokemon Center.
Oh, so
and
cool.
That sounds like I'm stereotyping, but it is just like people love collecting shit, and they love, like, there's a big issue over there apparently with, like, the birth rates are really low because people are just into collecting toys instead of having sex.
Amazing.
I might have to reference that somehow, but I'm sure that's what I heard. And well, I can believe it.
Well, like, also, like, when Rich went there the first time, I thought he was, like winding me up, but Pikachu greeted him at the airport.
Now, that's, like, something I've never seen. I'm
that's
jealous.
Like, literally, like, there was a giant, like, Pikachu mascot person, like, waving everyone in as he came in from the terminal. And I was like, nah. Like, because it just
that's
sounds like something.
Sick.
It sounds so, so cool. Can you imagine how sick it would be if we had, like, Harry Potter greeting people at Heathrow Airport? Just, or like the Queen.
Fucking hell. I mean, they're missing a trick there, not doing it at Harry Potter.
Yeah.
The Queen can go fuck herself, but like a little Harry Potter, like, impersonator.
Oh, Dobby. A little Dobby,
yeah,
the house elf.
Maybe like a character that's, yeah, that you can just get someone in a suit and it doesn't have to actually be Daniel Radcliffe, and then they just greet them. What else have we got that's famous? Mr. Bean?
Yeah.
You have Mr. Bean greeting people. That would be sick. Just Mr. Bean at Heathrow arrivals. Doing this,
yeah, because when I went to Florida, we had there was like a person in a Mickey Mouse costume. I was like, yes, Florida, Disney, done.
You get to Florida, Michael Mouse is there to meet you at the airport. It's fine. It's fucking perfect. Wait, my earpods are running out of battery because I haven't thought about this, so I'm gonna have to fucking cut it short. I mean, it's not short. It's an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah, has it been that long? Wow.
Yeah. Is there anything that I missed? This is me asking you how to do my job. Is there...
Tell you what. Check ETS out. Check out Church Road Records. We have a subscription club where you can buy vinyl, CD and digital. We only release the sickest shit. Thank you. Goodbye.
Wow, that was very specific and really good. And you can't tell me more about your album, really.
Nice.
But have you got like a tentative? You can't tell me any. I can tell by your smile. You can't tell me anything.
It's my. I can't do. It's my hostage
given,
smile.
Yeah, it was like this man is. I can't tell you the key to the safe.
I don't know what to sort of say. Like, it always sounds so cliche, but it's, you know, it's my favorite one we've done, like, or I suppose, yeah, like, it's literally out of all of the albums that we've done, I feel like this is my favorite, which is a good sign because I have to tour it. And there's lots of solos and there's breakdowns. And
are you waiting for the world to open up before you release it, or have you got like a schedule?
We're thinking tentatively late next year. Like, that's because the thing is, I think regardless if the world opens up or not, I don't want to sit on this album for too long.
Cause, fucking yeah.
You know, because it's like for fun. Do you know what I mean? Like being in a band, it's like it's not a real career choice. So you got to have fun. So the idea of sitting on something for so long is really not fun.
We released it and now nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel bad when that's why I felt bad for Load, because it came out and they did nothing. And in a way, I feel bad for Palm Reader because I would be sat like, really want to play these songs live.
Yeah.
But hopefully everyone's buying that shit.
Yeah, hopefully.
And streaming it, and Spotify give us that one day, please.
Fingers crossed. I'd tell you what though, I hope there's like going to be the comeback of like live sort of Blu-ray DVDs and stuff from all these like live streams, because the Code Orange one was amazing. And like Palm Reader did a church one as well, which was really cool.
Do you think they will be physical copies, or do you think they'll be just like online things?
I reckon both, because you can get like the Vimeo downloads, can't you? And like,
I personally wouldn't ever buy a Blu-ray ever again.
Do you know what? If it was really cool, like if it was like nice packaging, because I don't listen to tapes, but I have like 100 of them because like they got nice packaging. Like I don't even have a tape deck.
I mean, I feel that way about vinyl. I've got so many vinyls that I've just left in their packet because I stream the band, but I wanted the album. But I don't think Blu-ray, I think that's because vinyl's so big and it's a big bit of artwork. I think maybe if Blu-rays were as big as vinyls, I'd buy more.
Yeah.
I need to bring back fucking Betamax and just be like, just release a fucking VHS. I'd much rather have a shelf full of VHS than I would Blu-rays. It's just a nicer spine.
Yeah. It's like, I like it when you can, you know, if you're really sad, you can like color coordinate it. So like fades into colors and stuff and look Instagrammable.
And it would be where you could hide your weed. You could hide your weed in your VHS if it didn't give you anxiety. Back in the day, I mean, I imagine.
I'll just replace mine with my coffee beans.
Coffee beans in a VHS. That sounds like some weird hipster way to brew coffee. Like, oh, you haven't lived until you've tried it. V60 through a VHS. Just really brings out some of the acidity in the beans.
Or is it, do you like washed, or is it washed and there's like, what's the other
natural
version?
No,
natural asset.
I'm big into nerdy coffee. I can actually talk about this for, I was actually this morning, I've been moaning about my coffee. I bought some coffee, it wasn't very good.
Oh.
I'm moaning about it. Yeah,
I'm a coffee tourist. I buy a lot from Dark Arts because their imagery is right up my street. It's proper goth. I like it.
They've always got cool names and they've always got cool like descriptions and stuff, but I've never tried it.
Have you not? Right, I recommend it.
Maybe it's next on my list. Maybe they'll fucking send me a fucking bat. No, I'll get some. I'll buy some. Let's call it.
Yeah.
It's been lovely. Thanks for being the first woman on the moon, on the downbeat moon. Can you please nudge Larissa to be the second woman on the downbeat moon?
I will. I reckon she'll be totally up for it.
I would hope so. It was a weird like radio silence. I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. This is how I do it. And then it was, no, done.
Mm.
But anyway, please send me that. Send me your file. Everyone check out Employed to Serve at Employed to Serve on all the things. Your Patreon will be up by now. Give them some money.
Fill our pockets.
There we go. Fill their pockets, please. All right. See you later.
Catch you later.
Bye.
Bye.